Joining the program now is another of the featured Valley Visual Show artists, Sarah Yule. Sarah is a commercial and fine artist based in Carbondale who harnesses her love of the wild places and her desire to propel human connection as a means to motivate her imaginative works. And Sarah's piece in the Valley Visual Show is called Mount Sopris, and it's in watercolor and ink. Sarah, welcome.
Hi, Luke. It's such a pleasure to be on KDNK.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. Nice, bright face and smile, and an artist to boot. And we get to sit here and talk about art.
You know, the reason I'm an artist is because I have a brim hat on, right?
Well, you look like an artist. That's a good thing. Yeah, did that take a lot of practice?
You got to start somewhere, you know.
Is that hard to do, or was it easy for you?
To start wearing brim hats?
To be an artist.
I think it was something I had to step into throughout my life. I've always thought of myself as an artist, but to really go for it and to pursue it as a career and also a language of how I want to be in the world was something that has happened for me more recently, even as a kid, I thought of myself as an artist.
That's a brave thing. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What brought you up to that point, to where you said, screw it, I'm going to do it?
A lot of things, but one of them really was this desire for knowing how I want to make a difference in our world or how I want to contribute to it or express myself in a way that's bigger than myself, and slowly getting more comfortable with art being a voice for that just started to make more and more sense.
Interesting. I saw your website, sarahyuhl.com. That's Sarah with an H, SARAHUHL.com. Great picture of you sitting on the ground in Red Rock Country, somewhere in Utah, I guess, with all your watercolors spread out in front of you and a tablet. Is that how you work? You go out there and you're painting.
The best days, that's how I work.
Okay.
That was a really great trip with a friend of mine. We camped overnight up underneath Castleton Tower and woke up with the sun, and I painted the whole desert landscape, Castle Valley, right as the sun came up.
Wow. That's a special time.
It was a delight. And that was really the beginning of the art that I'm doing now. That was a little less than a year ago. And ever since then, I've started to paint outside, plein air style. And I feel like that's where my most inspired work is coming from.
So the piece at the launch pad, the Mount Sopris, that was painted plein air.
I painted that at my desk, actually.
Well, you have a desk looking at Mount Sopris.
I do.
How good is that?
You know, that one, I did have to get myself a little bit of a photo reference for that. There's so many views of Sopris, and so it was a really fun research project to look through different angles and different perspectives of the mountain, and I really like that one. I'm also dealing with the fact that it's a winter. I did take my paints up to the top of Highlands Bowl over the weekend, and they actually froze. So I was tough enough, but I felt like I was racing the maybe if I took my jet boil and boiled some water so that I could keep my paint water cold or warm enough.
Wow, how about that? Huh.
I do miss painting outside, though. It's different to paint indoors, and I can still create work and do a lot of my commercial work inside, but ever since, you know, I've found myself making these pieces out right next to the mountain, it's hard to replicate that.
So I imagine it's kind of hard painting snow in watercolor. I'm trying to picture that. How would you do that technically?
That's where I get to let my imagination drive the ship.
Oh.
So I use a lot of imaginary elements in my work, and so that's where colors that aren't necessarily on the landscape come in. But I also like negative space. It has been a challenge. I feel very challenged by drawing or painting snow.
Huh. Yeah, I could see where that would be. Maybe not as difficult as water. I don't know. Running water, maybe.
We're going deep, aren't we?
I guess so. I imagine it's pretty hard painting flowing water in watercolor.
It's all about the light, you know, and how the light touches it. And for me, my work is also how I experience a place. So I like to paint the experience that I'm having when I'm sitting there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's like very joyful, and so that's where color that maybe isn't quite in the mind's eye comes out in the painting.
Okay. Well, let's describe the piece that's at the launch pad. I would say it's a little on the muted side color-wise, although there's some really nice purple washes in there.
Yeah, that piece was cool because I used these new paints from a wonderful little company called Greenleaf and Blueberry. It's a couple that just moved to Grand Junction and they started making their own paints out of natural elements. And I used a paint that has graphite in it. And maybe if you look closely enough, you could see that the whole painting kind of sparkles.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that because I didn't notice the sparkling in the purple, but I noticed it in the gray.
Yeah, it's the graphite paint and it's really cool. They're a wonderful team. They're making these paints out of all natural elements. And they educated me quite a bit. I don't know much about my materials. A lot of times I kind of feel like a hack. I didn't go to art school and I'm just using junky paints. Because I don't really feel like that's where the beauty and the work comes from. You know, it comes from inside of you. But these are really cool new paints.
How did you discover them?
They found me. We kind of like found each other through like social media, which is this really funny universe where people are connecting. And it oftentimes feels a little like shallow in the beginning because you're just like looking at a screen, talking to somebody else on their screen. But they actually came through Carbondale and we went and had coffee at True Nature. And they're actually sponsoring me, which is really cool. I have a paint sponsor.
How about that?
I know. How about that?
That's really cool. Well, I noticed on your website that you sell cards and calendars, and I was a little surprised to see that cards are still popular, but I guess they are. I kind of asked around and discovered that there's still a real market for cards.
I think so. You know, and I'm definitely not supporting myself on card sales, but around the holidays, I definitely have an outlet for them, and I do feel like people still like a tactile outlet for connecting every once in a while.
I think you're right. I noticed that with the DJs at KD&K. Most of them prefer the hard copy CD. You know, they can get all they want in Spotify and digital realms, but there's something about a hard copy CD just as there is with a record album.
Yeah, and we all get so many emails all day long and we're looking at our phones, and I do feel more and more people are wanting a different outlet here and there.
One of the things you do is story maps. Can you describe what a story map is?
I can, yeah. It was so wonderful to listen to Chris talk about his imaginative country. Story maps, for me, are just pictorial demonstrations of a place, or it could be of an adventure, or it could be a mission for an organization. And really, I think of them as legend and lore. The maps that I make are not very geographically accurate. It's not necessarily how to find your way, but it's how to feel a place or how to comprehend. I work with a lot of nonprofit organizations that are trying to connect with a demographic that needs to know about this great work they're doing, perhaps for conservation. And so the map is focused on plants or animals or areas that need attention, or just the wonderful things we want to celebrate about a place. I did a map of Carbondale for the Chamber of Commerce, and, you know, it's all of these things that we love about our home.
Huh. Mushroom Rock, Mount Sopras, the rivers.
Dandelions, deer.
Dandelions. How about that? Was there a roundabout with a sculpture in the middle?
There was.
I didn't notice that. I'll have to look more closely at that. And I guess I gather that's sort of your artistic bread and butter.
The maps, yes, for sure. And it's where I'm really like striving for, especially in this coming year. I'm working really hard to connect with different groups that need help telling their story and that are pushing hard in a conservation angle. For me, that's the most satisfying work I could attract right now.
Uh-huh. And the idea being to express their work in artistic terms, in paint.
Well, it doesn't have to be that they want to do it in an artistic way. It's just that they want to connect with people in another way, you know, not a PowerPoint, not a website, not a press release. You know, maybe it's something that people are going to learn from, but also perhaps put on their wall. It's really about connection more than anything.
Okay. Okay. Huh. And you're producing what for these clients? Are you producing
legend and lore, Luke?
But how can you sell a legend? That's the key question, isn't it?
So, you know, every one of these map projects I've had has been custom, and a lot of it is sitting down and discussing what the goals are for the organization or the town or what have you, and really coming up with an end product that's going to help them tell their story. So each one's kind of different. I just did a map for Aspen Skiing Company. It's going to be for the World Cup coming up in March.
Oh.
And so that I produced two maps for them. One is of town, and there's cute little things in it, like the horse and buggy and the ice skating rink and, you know, the gazebo in one of the parks. And it's also a tool to tell people what venues are where. And then there's also another map of the mountain with the race course on it.
There's some racing history on that mountain.
Yes, there is.
Yeah. Did you get Bill Johnson careening down the slope?
Maybe if you look hard enough.
Okay. Huh. And, of course, the original big ski race in the United States, 1950, the FIS Championships.
Yep.
Huh. And you embodied some of that in your piece?
Yeah, that's the other piece that I love about these maps is they're research projects. Uh-huh. And oftentimes I get to meet with really cool people that are influential in a place or a piece of the history or, you know, somebody that has an element of a place that needs to be told through story.
Hmm. Huh. Where do you see your art career going, Sarah Ewell?
Well, my hope is that it keeps me painting in the wild places. For me, it's definitely a marriage of where I want to be and how I want to spend my time, which is outdoors in the mountains, and also making ripple effects. It's really important to me that my work is connected to protecting our public lands. I'm working on a project this summer where we will be focusing on endangered places that are threatened right now. And I'll be taking a few other artists around and producing these works in these places and then handing them over to conservation groups.
Oh, how cool is that? Is that here in Colorado?
It'll probably just be all over the American West. If there's any huge corporate sponsors out there that want to get a hold of me, we could just open it up worldwide.
You can always dream, can't you? That's important.
Yeah.